what I think is very important, because, you know, you cannot say like, okay, we create a diverse economy and just put it on every single island. What you need to make sure is that you understand the USPs, the unique selling points of an island, not only for tourism, but also specifically, for example, what's going on in nature. How is technology on the island available? Are there self-sustaining options on the island, you know?
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. We tell the stories of people who are defining the future of work. Our guests walk the tightrope, away from meaningless toil and towards work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. It is week 6 of sheltering in place. For people who work in American tourism and hospitality jobs, the stay-at-home order is tortuous. They are bound to wonder not only when, but if they will return to work. That kind of suffering is happening across the globe. Island nations that depend on tourism and hospitality for most of their income are especially affected by the COVID-19 coronavirus, and few tourist destinations are suffering more than Aruba. Nearly 70% of Arubans normally work in tourism and hospitality, and many of them are running out of money. Worse, some are running out of food and have no shelter. This week, we reached out to two bold civic leaders on the island, Bianca Peters of Island Impact and Daniel Tecklenborg of Sede Aruba, to find out how Arubans in need are getting critical support and to learn about Aruba's vision to emerge from this crisis with a stronger, more diversified economy and sustainable workforce. We spoke with Bianca Peters and Daniel Tecklenborg earlier this week on Zoom. Welcome to the Tightrope, Bianca Peters and Daniel Tecklenborg.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan.
You are welcome, Daniel. Bianca, I want to start with you. For those who are not familiar with Aruba, where is it on the planet?
Yeah, it's, maybe some of you heard about the ABC Islands before. It's part of the Dutch Caribbean Islands, and it's in the Southern Caribbean Sea, just before the coast of Venezuela.
You're like 13 miles north of Venezuela, as I recall, right?
Correct.
So Aruba is an island that people like me visit sometimes annually for vacation. It's known as a vacation destination. And that had me concerned, obviously, because of the COVID-19 coronavirus and the fact that we're all sheltering in place. Bianca, how are Arubans doing? What's the mood on the island right now?
Interesting question. You know, normally it's such a simple question to ask, how are you? But isn't this difficult time very hard to answer, actually, because I think everybody's going through their own challenges, but also opportunities, of course, within this crisis situation. But generally speaking, you can say that Aruba is hit hard due to the corona crisis. Actually, Standard & Poor's mentions Aruba as the country that it's hit most due to the corona crisis, due to the fact that we have our 90%, almost 90% of our GDP consists of tourism. And we don't have any tourists on the island anymore. So you can imagine the impact that has on the island. How is the mood? For a lot of people on the island, they express fear, not knowing where it will go to, what will happen with their jobs, all of that. But in general, you can also say that the island itself, nature, is thriving actually by this. So, you know, it depends on from what perspective you look at it in order to answer that question.
How much of your island is out of work? I know you have a workforce of about 68,000 people. Are most of them out of work or half of them out of work? What's your thoughts on that?
The exact numbers, we don't have them as of yet, but thousand lost their jobs already and will lose them in the upcoming months for sure.
So Daniel, you are director of Sede Aruba. What is that and how is it addressing the needs of those out of work Arubans?
Yes, Dan, thank you for the opportunity. Sede Aruba is a social foundation in Aruba, established in 1986. We provide grants to many nonprofits. Normally, we would focus on neighborhood development, parenting programs, and the education of children and youngsters through after-school programs, active aging projects, people with disabilities, and many more. So we are very diverse. But at this moment, we have put all efforts into the support of vulnerable groups through COVID-19, which would be, for the most part, a support of local food banks that provide food packages for those that lost their jobs. We know that more than 10,000 people have applied for welfare at this moment, and many more will come. And we also focus to provide warm meals for people that have lost their caregivers, for example, elderly that are not able to cook themselves, but also people that don't have the equipment at home to cook. So most of the efforts go there. We are also open for farming projects to produce local vegetables and fruits. So we're looking to that too. And furthermore, we would be open also to look at protection of children are in situations that are not desired, such as, for example, it could be something like domestic violence, which is globally also increasing now. It's not only a problem in Aruba because people are locked up at home, and then you have those multi-problem families that have those challenges. And this is a global phenomenon. So those kind of projects we would support. But like I said, the most efforts are going into food provision and provision of warm meals. And we have a big food bank in Aruba that is already getting so much more applications than normal. And we have started a Meals on Wheels program with the Red Cross. And those kind of projects, we support them financially and we monitor the use of the donations so that every dollar that is coming in will be used as effective as possible.
I remember to buy food on Aruba was very expensive. Your island doesn't have a lot of farming, does it?
During the last years, we have seen more initiatives and also creative initiatives that use new concepts of farming to produce locally. And there was an increase during the last years, but now there's, I think for the first time, it is that the biggest farming initiatives are talking to each other now in order to join forces. And this is very positive since the need will be very high now. And the people are very aware that they need to work together. So this is very positive for Aruba.
That's excellent. As I would imagine, the cost of food is a big component of your fundraising appeal.
Yes, and I have to say that we are looking into the option to import ourselves at this moment. So not by only through local suppliers, but talk to the local suppliers to see if they would be able to lower the cost for import or even waive them. So there are some options that we can temporarily import ourselves and ask the government also to waive the import taxes. So this is an option right now, and this will increase the possibility to use more of the donation for more product.
Very good. So you've launched a big crowdsourced fundraising appeal called Happy to Give Back. And I'm wondering, Daniel, if you could tell our audience what that's about, and to speak to people like me who have visited Aruba as tourists, why it's important for us to give back.
Yes, thank you for that opportunity. The Happy to Give Back campaign, we have thought a lot before we launched it on how we're going to do this. There are two things, actually. We have received a lot of messages from people from the US that love Aruba and they would like to help Aruba in the situation. So this was one motivation, because every country around the world is hit very hard. So of course it wouldn't be fair just to ask help for Aruba, that it would be important for them that they will, once they can come back to the island, that they will find the island more or less as they left it. There is a motivation among those people to help. And for us, we know also how critical people think about fundraising programs. So for us, it was very important to make very clear to what kind of support those donations will go. And we have made sure that all donations that we raise, bigger or small, will go right away into food support for those most in need, to avoid also that you have a situation that you have an increase in crime. You don't want to have that. Right. So again, our reach out is to the people that love Aruba and see Aruba as their home away from home. So in this case, we reached out to those people to see if they could share something. If it's very little or if it's a bigger donation, everything is welcome to support.
And as I recall, you're not taking any management fees for this. All money collected is going to go towards need, correct?
Yes, and this is Sede Aruba does never do that. We fundraise also in other countries, and we also look for grants. And even though for those kind of support, we would never ask any management fees. So every donation, every dollar that's coming in will go 100% into the support. And like I said, we will make sure that every product that we buy will have the lowest price that's available on the market.
Happy to Give Back is helping Arubans with the here and now, the crisis that they're dealing with at the moment. We're going to get through this and we'll be no longer socially distant, which is great. And people like me will return to your one happy island, and that'll be wonderful. But that leads to my next set of questions, Bianca and Daniel, and that has to do with economic diversity. Island nations like Aruba, because of demand, focus their workforces on usually two industries, hospitality and tourism. I would be scared for Aruba to continue that way. And I guess my question, we'll start with you, Bianca, is what are your thoughts on making the economy of Aruba and other island nations more economically sustainable?
I think it's raised over the last couple of years already a lot, especially also, for example, within the UN network, SDGs. Is focused on that, specifically on SDGs and islands. What I think is very important, because, you know, you cannot say like, okay, we create a diverse economy and just put it on every single island. What you need to make sure is that you understand the USPs, the unique selling points of an island, not only for tourism, but also specifically, for example, what's going on in nature? How is technology on the island available? Are there self-sustaining options on the islands? You know, all of those questions need to go through in order to see, okay, you know, what would be the best way to diversify the economy for a specific island? And I truly believe if you take time to go through those questions, but also look at the culture and the people themselves, I always call it the sweet spot of people, you know, what is your passion? What is your quality? And how can you make your own business case out of that?
Right.
And if you do that in collaboration with other people around you, you can build multidisciplinary teams in order to move forward within different sectors. And it's, of course, a whole exercise to do, but especially in this time, you see the need to start doing this in order to make sure that you start actually from baseline in order to grow in a more sustainable way. For example, Kate Rothworth is talking about the donut economy. And I think she's saying a couple of very important things in that. For example, like, you know, don't talk only about grow, but talk about a thriving economy. I think all those questions need to be raised per island in order to make sure that you can diversify eventually the economy. What I also do think is very important is that there are a couple of new ways for leadership to put in. First and foremost, stakeholder inclusion. You know, you cannot do this alone as an island. You need to have your stakeholders included in this. Second, emotion and intuition. Nowadays, you know, social media is doing so much to people. They just put everything on it, whatever they like, you know. Even media is not always fact-based. And so, you know, you need to discuss that and with each other in order to make sure that people feel safe enough to eventually share their ideas and knowledge about certain topics. Also, mission and purpose. You know, you can not do this with an island if you don't have a clear vision and an action plan, because then everybody will do their own thing. And yes, that will help diversify the economy, but I'm not sure if you would like it to happen like that. And of course, you know, technology and innovation, it's there. We have it. at our fingertips right now. The fact that we can have this conversation with each other like this via Zoom and being able to be in three different rooms and having this podcast, we can use that a lot more. Once the basic needs are met, because I think that is important. That's I'm very grateful for all the work that Sedia Aruba is doing for Aruba and this, because that is what is necessary in order to be able to start thinking about diversification of your economy. And the slogan that we use for 360 is think big, start small, and move fast. So dare to dream big. What kind of opportunities are there worldwide to diversify your economy locally? Start small, just start doing it, and then you can grow very fast. Maybe not a very clear answer, but some elements to think about once you want to start diversifying your economy.
I would like to add that what we see now, although that there's a lot of panic and insecurity right now, and people are like in a constant anxiety, you see that many businesses within the last weeks, they changed their business concept also. So you see, for example, e-commerce was something that was not happening very much in the weeks before COVID-19. But because of COVID-19, you see a lot of more businesses that accept online payments, and they right at this moment are adapting their way of thinking. It is a crisis, but yeah, in every crisis is an opportunity. Yeah. But as Bianca said, you need to make sure that people have the basic needs in order to be creative and in order to create the opportunity for them to show their talents right now.
No, maybe one thing to add, because we were just talking about farming, and well, actually my partner has a hydroponics farm here on the island, and Daniel mentioned a couple of companies working together. Well, we are one of the companies, or actually my partner is. Also for us, because we delivered all the produce to the hotels and restaurants. And well, as you can imagine, within 3 days, you know, all lettuce, we could not deliver it anymore. Mm-hmm. But we grow it for 6 weeks. So it means that we had for 6 weeks on the system, and we need to start to diversify also our way of thinking. Okay, you know, we cannot sell it to the hotels and restaurants. What should we do with it? A big part went to the food bank, you know, just to help out over there. But also we started looking into, you know, what can we do locally now? And that created a new opportunity. So within the crisis situation, yes, it is a big crisis. And yes, our hydroponics farm is hit hard, but there are also opportunities. And once indeed the basic needs are met, we can pull out the creativity of people for sure.
You mentioned creativity. I came out of advertising before. I was a recruiter, you know, somebody that helped people find jobs. And so I'm constantly thinking about how brands would respond to a crisis. And, you know, we're all washing our hands constantly. My fingers are cracked. And guess what? The only thing that makes it feel better is Aruba Aloe hand cream.
Exactly.
I just ordered a big tube of it. And it's things like that that turn crisis into opportunity. And I hope that they are thinking in terms of helping us wash our hands and making sure we don't have hands that crack and bleed like I do. But I bring that up because it is my hope that Arubans will respond to the crisis with creativity. And, yes. And hopefully from a standpoint of being entrepreneurs, will maybe find their way to doing something that they really love to do. And that becomes a business that maybe grows in time and becomes what they do, what they want to do.
You can just put the Maslow pyramid on top of this, you know? Mm-hmm. Once you know that you have food and you have a roof above your head, you can start thinking about other things. And this is also why it's so important now to start a Happy to Give Back platform and initiative in order to make sure that we give also that space to people, that they know that they can get a meal every day. And in order to go through specific zones, of course, eventually can become creative and start thinking, okay, how can I do things differently?
Exactly. And I think even if we just keep talking about tourism, although we're talking about diversification, so less, maybe less dependency on tourism, but the tourism itself also has so much potential to be diversified. Because we have, for example, we have talked to many timeshare owners, as Sede Aruba in the past, to see many people are looking for authentic experiences. So not the commercial mainstream tours that people offer, but come closer to the community. And there's also an opportunity for the locals to provide those small-scale experiences and the real experiences actually that people are looking for. So this is actually something that I would love to look into with nonprofits and people that want to start social enterprises. And there are already some so good examples that were starting in a small scale before tourism stopped right now. But the same way you could look at the talents that Aruba has. Look, for example, at the fact that Arubans speak at least four languages, most of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is a very, very unique situation that people compliment us so many times. This is definitely one of the aspects that we need to look into with the next generation. So yeah, we have a lot of great language coaches here. We could do something with that, but there are so many more opportunities.
I wanted to kind of leave off on this idea of the future of work, because I know on your island, you go back to World War II, you were a petrol depot, a refinery basically, until your really smart people said, wait a minute, we got some really nice beaches on our western side. We could turn this into a tourist destination. And then Aruba became a completely different economy. I kind of feel like we're going through a tidal wave right now. And I'm wondering how you feel Arubans will embrace the future of work beyond the big shiny objects, tourism and hospitality, and what you think some of the growth areas might be that they may be really interested in to do.
There are indeed already some ideas on the table for that. For example, circular economy, you know, you can look into that. What can be done with that? Also, well, we discussed already, food security, of course, is something to look into, very important for Ireland. Education itself, because, you know, I think we can be a lot smarter with this if we do this right, especially now with the technologies available for us. And being able to connect with, you know, universities worldwide in a very easy way. So energy, of course, sustainable energy is one, and sustainable technology also. So there are a lot of opportunities. But like I said before, you know, it trickles down to having a clear vision and action plan, because that gives people a dot on the horizon to work with. And then they know, okay, you know, this is the framework within I can have fun and play, you know, in order that my business thrives. Yeah, but that are some of the ideas on the table. I know that the government is busy with all of them already to look into it, at least for the framework itself. Mm-hmm. But in order to make this a success, you need to make sure that you work with the triple helix. So public, private companies, as well as knowledge centra need to be included in order to make sure that everybody grasp this and make sure that we get to that dot on the horizon. It comes down to stakeholder inclusion and make sure, like, okay, you know, we all feel that we can do this. Let's make it happen.
Daniel, did you want to add something to that?
I think that one thing that we really need to focus on for the next month is mindset creation. So one thing that CEDE did, and I'm very, very happy that we made that happen in such a short time, is to start a TV channel. We never did that before. But we have worked closely with the local TV station, and I have some creative people on my team that are actually interviewing many, many nonprofits and volunteers and private initiatives about what can you do right now. Because the government, with all respect, because they are doing a very good job to keep us inside and to make it everything safe. So I'm very grateful for what the government is doing. On the other side, you have to tell people what they can do and what kind of things you need to focus on. So we have recorded 55 programs in 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's quite
yeah,
a lot.
Amazing. Yeah.
Then we're talking about, okay, what can you do as a parent to make it safe at home? That's more for the family relations, but we also have programs for the kids. We have programs for the elderly, but we also have recorded some programs for entrepreneurs and people that have a business and stimulate them to be creative. And I think if you have like a super working tourism like Aruba had until a few weeks ago, of course, the easiest thing to think is I'm going to do something that I can make some money to sell stuff to tourists. Of course, that's the easiest goal. But right now, I think people will at least think about, okay, tourism will come back. There's my opportunity for the future. But it shouldn't be the only ones. They will think about different channels they can use. I think with this kind of communication to the big community, daily things that are on TV, and challenge them right now to learn something that they never learned. You know, you're at home, you're not working. We need to make sure that there's food on the table. But once, since you are at home, And there's so much information online to learn something, mm-hmm. learn something creative, do a course, do a training. There are tons of courses for free online right now that people are offering. So it's also an opportunity. And this is what we're telling them, like, don't just waste your time at home. Don't just sit on, binge watch Netflix all day, but do something useful with your time to learn something new so that you become your master of what you want to do. So this is something very important, mindset creation. And the great thing is it doesn't cost us a lot. It's almost for free what we're doing. And the TV channel is for free. So everybody's working together. So this is something unseen also in Aruba. Normally we struggle so much to cooperate. There are so many small islands on our small island. But now it seems like the borders between organizations are like disappearing, and people are really looking, they are looking for each other to do things yeah. together. I really love it, love to see that in such a difficult moment that people are coming together.
YouTube has been a revelation for people. I started a YouTube channel this year and I made it part of my podcast. Didn't cost me anything and it's been great. So you mentioned all the technology that we now have at our disposal that is revolutionizing yeah. our abilities to get messaging out. And as Daniel said, create mindset creation. Brilliant. Just brilliant. I've really enjoyed our time together today. And my dream is to come meet you two face to face sometime soon.
Please I know do.
That my, I know that my wife and my daughter are eager to get back to our one happy island. Thank you so much, Bianca Peters nice. and Daniel Tecklenburg. I wanted to give you both an opportunity, start with you, Bianca, to tell us where we can point our listeners to you and your organizations on social media.
First of all, Dan, thank you so much for having us and having this opportunity to talk about, especially having to give back, because for Aruba, it's very important to bring out also that message. I would like to ask everybody to go to my LinkedIn. If you search for Bianca Peters Aruba, you will find me. And I think that's the best way to connect, because we do have a landing page for Island Impact as well as 360 Degrees of Innovation. Mm-hmm. But I believe in personal contact. So please join my LinkedIn profile.
Excellent. Daniel?
Yes, thank you so much, Dan. I'm very happy. Visit happytogiveback.com. City Aruba is not very famous in the U.S. yet. We hope that this might change something. And you can really, your little support will make us overcome this. And I would really, really be happy if people can help us out. For once, you can make a one-time donation. You can also make a monthly donation. It depends on what you can do. That's no problem. You can follow us on the website. We will post the impact of our programs so you can see what your contribution is doing. And we are looking very much forward to welcome everybody again once the borders are open again and people can come back. And of course, it will not end there, because we were so much looking already into volunteerism and programs that involve visitors in our local programs. We have so many opportunities. We had already a tremendous cooperation with the Timeshare Association, the Aruba Tourism Authority, and many nonprofits. We have above 60 local experiences that we can offer to tourists to do something different than only enjoying the nice beaches that we have. But we have so much more to offer. So if you can help us overcome this, we will have a very, very nice experience for you.
That is wonderful. You know, the Tightrope podcast is about helping people find work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people, and is fun to do. We call it meaningful work. And you both are working meaningful work careers. And I thank you both for your inspiration and for your time today. We hope to get you back on when the lights come back on and the tourists return to your beautiful island. Thank you so much.
Dan, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much, Dan. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Links to Island Impact's and Sede Aruba's social media are provided in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Please join us again for more inspiring stories from people who walk the tightrope to seek and do meaningful work. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. Together, let's walk the tightrope to find and do meaningful work. For the future of work is meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.